Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we do our daily reading from there. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. For anyone who speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is God's word.
Good morning. Dear brothers and sisters, I really thank God for this opportunity to worship with you and to share God's word with you. Please join me to ask God for wisdom and anointing words. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, please give us listening ears and listening hearts to allow your word directly speak to us, so we can apply them to our daily life and be a good witness of your gospel. I also ask you to anoint my mouth, so that whatever I say comes from you, not from my own understanding and knowledge. Bless our gathering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic I'm going to share today is living for God. It is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 19. Sister Monica just read for us. Before we dive into our text today, let's learn some of the backgrounds. In the first century, Christians are facing tremendous amounts of persecutions. The Apostle Peter even predicted his own death in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. He was hoping and encouraging the follower of Jesus Christ to live their life just like be like Christians, even when they are in the tremendous persecutions. Dear brothers and sisters, God does not promise us for a trouble-free life. None does He promise us for a prosperity life either. But God promises us to guide us through all the troubles, all the challenges, all the sufferings. He will always be there. That's what He promised. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 tells us that. And now these remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If Paul's letter is talking about faith, and John's letter is talking about love, and I would think the first and second Peter are talking about hope. Apostle Peter constantly reminds his readers the persecution that they are facing is nothing compared to the glory they are going to receive in the future. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 tells us that, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Peter wants to remind us, having hope in Christ, we are all called by His grace. The suffering in our lives is nothing compared to the glory we are going to receive. Therefore, we need to put our hearts and eyes on the eternal glory. After grasping a little bit about the background of 1 Peter, let's look at 3 points to understand what kind of God our God is, and how can we live for God. First of all, we are going to see the Lord who changed lives. You may say the Lord who transformed lives also. Secondly, we will see the Lord who is in control. And thirdly, we are going to see the Lord who has suffered and rejoiced with us. Let's start with the Lord who changes life. In verse 1, Apostle Peter reminds the follower of Jesus Christ how Jesus Christ suffered in His body for them. Therefore, they should take up the same attitude. What Peter reminds the believer here is actually a response on the chapter 3, verse 18. It says, for Christ who suffered once for sins, the righteous for unrighteous, to bring you to God, He was put to death in His body, but made alive in the spirit. Peter reminded the believer that Jesus Christ died for their sins in order to bring them back to God. And He also rose again to give them eternal life, the hope. What Apostle told them also applied to our life. Every time we were told God died for us so we can have a hope of eternal life. Peter is telling those who are redeemed from the eternal penalty to stop doing evil things because they have done too many already from the text this morning told us. So are we the one who have done so many evil things against God? I hope from today we are not doing such. Peter also reminded them to be careful of those who were once their friends, as they may start attacking them because of their new belief. Dear brothers and sisters, do you experience something similar like this? When you accept Christ, your friends, your families start attacking you, and you have no idea why. Your non-believer friends, relative may think you no longer the person whom he knew before because your worldview different, the way you are doing things all different. And if you say to me, this kind of thing never happened to me, I would question your belief, because it means your life never changed. It means maybe you are still doing something to enjoy yourself, something for human desires. I still remember the first time I went back to Taiwan. I'm from Taiwan. The first time I went back to Taiwan, and of course my friend invited me to have a dinner. And we were chatting each other and catching up each other, our lives. So once the food was ready on the table, I bowed my head down and I started to pray. And everyone was silent. They are silent because not because they respect my religion. They are silent. They don't know what I was doing. So when I finished my prayer, I just said to them, I pray the food that God give me. I also pray for them. One day they will know Christ. So they even teased me, saying, you just went to the United States for 3 months, and you try to be an American. So this is my friends I know for many years, so they have this kind of reflection. So I don't know about you. Christian can be joyful. Being a Christian can be joyful, but sometimes you will have something attacking from your family. So what exactly is Christian belief? Christian belief does not mean only believe in Jesus Christ and our sins were all forgiven and we will have eternal life and our God will be our blessings and will give us blessings in our daily life. It is all correct, but Christian belief is more than this. Christian belief, we believe in God will not give us more challenges, difficulty, even suffering when we face our daily life. We believe God will not put everything more than we can bear with. That's what we believe. And because of this belief, we can live our daily life with His grace. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel our lives are so hard and challenging. We might have been working very hard from our young age, and we try to provide everything, financial support to our families, and we even try our best to send our children to the best school districts. But many stories told me when they grow up, when they have their own family, their relationship seemed like be so much distant from their parents. So if this is life we are facing, I think that's very sad. But unfortunately, a lot of families are facing this kind of challenge. The son, the daughter, no longer be the one they knew before. They always, how many times your parents say, you change after you marry? Or even you change why you go to church. So we have these kind of things every day come from our family, our friends, they question us. But because we know what is the best in our life, so we can hold on our belief. In our life, it's really hard and it's sometimes very sad to hear these kind of stories. I have heard some story from new Chinese immigrants in New York. They came to New York to bring a better life for their family back in China. They worked so hard. To a day, they realized their health is not good. And even to a day, they realized, those husbands realized their wives in China are having love affair with other men, because of a long-distance relationship. So if this is things we are facing, we will think, what's the purpose of working so hard? So a lot of people, they even regret why they come to United States. I know this may not happen to most of us, but it happened in somebody's life, even in our Christian brothers and sisters' life too. Thank God most of us don't need to face this kind of challenge, but no one will deny life is not easy. Life is tough, especially for us as New Yorkers. You may spend more, at least 1 hour to commute to work or to your school. It's very common. And don't even mention about the high cost of housing. A lot of people, we need to face all these kind of things. Do we feel that most of the people feel that everything is increasing by salary? Everything is increasing. Everything is so expensive, but my salary is not. This is always we see people are talking about this. Although our life is so tough, but we can still be joyful because we can come to church freely. We should be thankful that we can worship God without any problems. Because during Apostle Peter's time, believing in Jesus Christ meant to him is giving out his life. They have to give their life for their belief. Today, we can come anytime we want, hopefully not, but you come here freely, nobody stop you, nobody give you troubles. This is the grace we receive. We shouldn't take it lightly. Still today, there are so many Christians facing persecution. They were tortured, even killed. We know the stories. Many missionaries we support, they give stories how difficult is in the mission field. We should not take our life lightly. Instead, we should treasure our life because Jesus Christ has paid in great price for us. Many Christians today are still working so hard to share the gospel to the places where no one wants to go. Therefore, for those of you who are already doing search, you are sharing gospel, you are sharing to your colleagues, your families, whoever you encounter with, I thank God for that. But you are not doing so, please, ask God to give you the brave actions. You will say to God, I'm going to do today. I'm going to do every day for you. What does change in life really mean? I'm sure many brothers and sisters have this kind of life-changing moment, or you may have heard so many stories, testimony about how a person's life been transformed because they accept Jesus. We know that we needed to be a good witness for Christ, but in reality, very often, we are not trying to obey. It's not because we don't know the theology, we don't have the knowledge. It's because our heart is not right. So for a Christian, we should commit to our God and also serve whatever He has given to us. Therefore, by doing this, we may need to go beyond our knowledge in intellectual understanding. And we should begin to learn to obey. We needed to begin to insist on following the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I still remember when I went to Naya for my bachelor degree with the purpose to knowing God more, to knowing what I believe. I'm not ready for serving. But with so many knowledge and evidence from the school provide me, I know it's not this can convince me. I know it's my heart. You can see so many testimonies You can hear so many testimonies, see so many evidence. Even you have so many proof, but if your heart is not right, you will never get ready to follow him. That's what I learned from the seminary when I was undergraduate. Therefore, we needed to ask God to fix our hearts, basically, to help us to follow him. In verse 3, it says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagan Jews do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, corruption, and detestable idolatry. You may say to me, no, Pastor, I didn't do such." The Apostle Peter mentioned, but I wonder if we are doing something pleasing to God every day. I still remember many years ago, one sister from Chinese congregation shared about her challenge and temptation at her job, which might be common to most of us. She told us many times when her supervisor was absent, her colleagues will do everything except their work. I saw some comment. Hopefully you are not the one. And one time her colleagues invited her for lunch, and she knew it's not right to have lunch more than 1 hour, but it's very challenging for her to refuse, because if she went, she will be stealing her boss's time. But if she refused, she might be isolated in the future. So this is the challenge she was facing. It's not easy for us to give answer, but thank God she made the right decision. In James chapter 2, verse 17, tells us, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." A lot of times we say we have a faith, but we have no actions. So this is the problem. I'm the first person in my family to believe in Jesus Christ. Until now, it's still the same. So I would like to pray to all of you to pray for the salvation of my family and my relatives. I still remember that when I first became Christian, I had a little bit of conflict with my family. The reason for conflict is because on Sundays, I needed to go to church. And on Sundays, they always have a family gathering. So they always needed to accommodate my schedule. Sometimes they even ask me, "What kind of religion you believe in? How come your religion teach you not to gather with your family?" I don't know if this is the case in your family, but it happened to me. And we all know Christians are not only go to church on Sundays. We have so many fellowship during weekdays. So when I still remember I attend the fellowship on Fridays, every time when I arrive home, it's after 10:30 p.m. So of course they complain more. "How come your church teach you to come home this much late?" So, and don't even mention about a lot of other servings. I know so many people might be in that situation. We need to pray more people can share our serving, more people can share our burdens. So not only one person will always be there in the church. Maybe he or she is not willing to be in the church the whole day. He's hoping someone to share the task with him or her. So maybe it will be you. So let's pray for that. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, if you are in my situation, I would like to encourage you to pray to God to give you more patience and love so you can be a good witness for Him. Thank God because I hold my belief and I deliberately try to be a better person in my family, try to know them more. So today they have no objection about my belief. And I hope one day God will open their hearts. After we talk about the law who changes lives, let's look at the second point. The law who is in control. In verse 7 and 8, it says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Dear brothers and sisters, Apostle Peter told us God's judgment is near. Therefore, we must love each other. In addition to today, we must use whatever gift we have received to serve others. Do you recognize your gifts? Are you willing to use your gift for God's kingdom to serve, to benefit others? All these questions are surrounded by two questions. Do we live our life for God or for ourselves? And do we put God as our first priority? If our answer is yes, then we should use our gift to benefit others, to put on God's kingdom. Is there any movie lover or Korean drama lover in the midst? When we produce a film, who are the most important people in the film? So I overheard people say the main actor and actress, are they the most important people? I would think so. But I think you guys are smarter. You will say, no, it's the director and the screenwriter, because they are the most important people. So in our lives, we are just like a main actor and actress. Does it sound good? You are the main actor and actress. But we try to be the director. We always want to direct the whole show. We don't want to obey what God planned for us. So, being a Christian, we should let God be the director, because He is the screenwriter. He has a plan for you. You don't have any plan for Him. So this is what we needed to put it right. So since we know God gives us a gift to serve each other and to be a good steward of God's gift, shouldn't we give our life to God and let Him be the director of His own prayer? We just have to do well on our own laws. What is the law of Christians? There are many laws of Christians. One of the laws is to take care of God's home and make the home of God strong. When our spiritual home is good, so we can invite people to come in. Otherwise, you will be hesitate to invite other people to come to your spiritual home. I want to remind my dear brothers and sisters, when we treat our church as our home, we must put our efforts to make this home full of joy and love, that we can invite others to come without any hesitation. We want to make a home that is even for ourselves want to come. A lot of people, they leave church. They say the church is not the church I used to go. Maybe there are so many things affect them. But we want to have a church. Even yourself, you want to come every time. And you are hoping Sunday coming soon. This is the church we should have. We want to make a home that everyone can enjoy here regardless of the ages. So we need to watch over all our people from young to elders. The responsibility for the home is not depend on church, pastoral staff, deacons, trustees, or co-workers. Each one of us needed to have a wedding heart. There should not have any self-centered people. Rather, we are all willing to work together for the good of those who God loves. If we only think about ourselves, our home will look like this. When mother does not have time to fold or wash the clothes, you will see the whole bag of washed clothes in the living room or somewhere in your house. Because we assume mother is the person who is folding the clothes for everyone. And if father doesn't have time to dump the garbage, your house will be full of a stingy smell because father is the one who is doing that. So a lot of time we see people doing something, we assume, yeah, that's their job. And one time I even misunderstood a brother. He was working so hard for our church, I thought he was paid, but he was voluntary. So a lot of times it's you want to do or not. We don't assume that job belongs to a specific person. If we only think of ourselves, our home is just like before I mentioned. I believe everyone has heard of Google. Google has become an integral part of our lives in a short period of time. I believe the success of Google is not because only depend on its CEO. It's because all the employees, they put their best talents for the company. So the company is so great today. We also heard about the awesome benefit that Google provides for its employees. Their working environment is just like living a resort. Dear brothers and sisters, if one day Sundar Pichai asks you or your children, even your grandchildren, to work with him for the Google, what will be your answer? We say, let me think about it. I don't know about you, but if I were you, I would say, when can I start? that's the answer for myself. And we all agree our law is in controlling everything. So when our Lord Jesus Christ asks you, do you want to walk with me in my kingdom? Are you willing to accept his invitation? Unlike accepting the invitation from Sundar Pichai, we usually hesitate and even reject it. He sent our Lord Jesus Christ wiser and richer than those big company CEOs. We all agree, but we reject it. We hesitate. If he is, why do we hesitate? Why don't we want to give our best to our God? Serving the church, aren't we human beings so contradictory? Dear brothers and sisters, I share this much to you today only because I want to encourage each one of you to walk together so we can make our spiritual home better. Apostle Peter tells us in verse 7, the end of all things is near. So even if we work so hard to earn the whole world, it will eventually become nothing. Basically what he is talking about. We did not bring anything to this world when we were born. And we cannot take anything tangible with us when we leave this world either. However, if we can take up our Christian responsibilities and share the gospel to more people, it will be certainly more joyful in the heaven because we will get to meet more people. Lastly, let's talk about the Lord who has suffered and rejoiced with us. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the failure or there that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you might be overjoyed with his glory is revealed. Apostle Peter encouraged the Gentile Christians not to be surprised for all the tests that happened to them. He is not referring to the toughness or needs of their lives. He is referring the persecution, suffering, or trials they have because they believe in Jesus. Peter said these trials are fiery trials. We actually do not know exactly what kind of test they had, but we can guess that the trials are faith trials. The trial are the trial of faith, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 to 7 tells us, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, might result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In verse 14, Peter says, if they are insulted because of the name of Jesus, of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory of God rests on you. Are we willing to suffer or even be insulted for Jesus Christ? Can we be patient like when Peter asked Jesus, when a brother or sister sinned against me, how many times I should forgive? And I heard many people say 77 times. And if we do calculations, 490 times. So I don't believe Jesus wants Peter to count 490 times. We believe the teaching is countless forgiveness. That's what God wants us to do. So God wants us to forgive others no matter how many times. This morning, George shared in the Chinese congregation. He told us God is always the second chance because he's preaching Jonah. So God is not only the second chance, many, many chance, because we did not sin against God only twice, so many times. But God's grace is much greater than that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 to 12 teaches us that, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophet who were before you. Therefore, we should not focus on the harmful words that other people say to us. We should focus on the encouraging word, the loving word, and comforting word they found God. In our spiritual journey, very often people who insult us are not from outside of the church. The accusation and slander we have encountered a lot of times inside of church, and I know it's not our church, it's other people's church, but many times it happened like this. You have a lot of conflict in the church, and who will be the most people be affected? I believe it's not us, it's the church, it's the God, because the people outside, they never understand what's the detail of the problem. They only say the church has problem, and the God they believe must not be a good God. So this is our presentation to outside the world. because they always see going to church is not better. Why do I need to go? So hopefully we can work together and people want to come to join us and they are curious about belief. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, when you talk about being a follower of Christ, we may begin to learn how to accommodate the differences between brothers and sisters. How can we be tolerant? It's not to close the eyes, pretending we don't see anything, but rather to learn and appreciate the differences between each other so we can change ourselves. Many times we pray to God, God, please change my children, my spouse, my coworker. You never pray to God, change yourself. Indeed, you might be the problem. So this is our job to do. Let God change us, and we are willing to do that. Peter wants to remind us that when we suffer for Jesus Christ, we must have the faith to believe our Lord Jesus Christ is suffering with us. And he will lead us through all the challenges. Peter also reminds us that we must avoid the so-called suffering from our personal lust or doing something that does not please God. Because these kind of suffering are created by ourselves. I know a couple. Is really truly enough from our church. They share about their financial problems. They ask her brothers and sisters to pray for them. And I think that's absolutely okay to ask someone to pray for your financial problem. But when I know about their details of their problem, I realize they actually can prevent this kind of trouble. They don't have to buy a house more than $1 million on Long Island. And they can actually downgrade their Mercedes Benz to a cheaper one. So they have a hard time paying mortgage, have a hard time paying the rent, whatever, the bills, because they see other people have, so I needed to have. This is a human desire. Sometimes it becomes a temptation. Let God see our value is much greater than the material things. Dear brothers and sisters, God does not say that Christian cannot buy a big house or a good car, but I don't know what does it mean good car. I just say good car. God doesn't mean we cannot have such things, but if these things become the problem and affecting your spiritual life, we need to rethink about, are those things necessary? A lot of things we ask from God is what we want, is not what we need. So let us have, when we pray to God, let us have a right question. Ask God to provide what we need, not what we want. So in that sense, we can give glory to our God. Otherwise, people cannot see the difference between you and non-Christians. Let's close with what we just learned before. First of all, the law who changes lives. Believing in Jesus is not only to receive eternal life and his blessing in our daily life. Believing in Jesus means that we as Christians will focus on our spiritual growth every day so our life can be changed to please God. Secondly, the Lord who is in control. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we must be alert, knowing Jesus will come anytime. Therefore, we need to let our hands get off the steering wheel. So let God control our lives, so Jesus can lead our earthly life daily. If we are willing to do so, I believe we will face less trouble and worries. Thirdly, the Lord who has suffered and rejoiced with us. Peter reminds us that we should not be surprised when there is a test of fire in our life, but to recognize the test is something to make our faith stronger and to help us see God's plan clearly, because Jesus is always the one leading us overcome this all the test. Finally, I would like to give a small challenge. I believe that many of our family members and friends have not yet believed in Jesus yet. Just as I mentioned before, like my family. Therefore, let's start ask God and pray for their salvation. So let's take a look in God's word and apply it into our lives so they can see the changes after we become Christian, so they will know our God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the changing our lives so we can know you and have a close relationship with you. Thank you for being the Lord in control of everything, so we can rely on you 100% and leave up all our worries to you and believe that you will always be with us in good times and bad times. Thank you for words today, that you may use them to encourage us daily so we can live our lives for you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.